spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel. This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Triceptor Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Triceptor Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We have a great show planned today. During the first hour, we're going to be talking to Dr. Mei-Lin Liu about a protein called GRB10 and how it may stimulate fat loss through thermogenesis. Then during the second hour, we'll be joined all the way from Munster, Germany by Adele Musa to do part two of the three-part series, Common Nutrient Deficiencies, Their Health Consequences, and How You Can Fix Them. You're not going to want to miss that at all. But let's get started on this very, very exciting topic. Dr. Mei-Lin Liu is a assistant professor at Department of Biochemistry and Molecular Biology at the University of New Mexico Health Sciences Center. Welcome to the show, Dr. Liu.
Hi, this is Mei-Lin. Thanks for this opportunity to introduce our work.
Yes, and it's very exciting work, too. So let's start at the very, very beginning. Talk about the research that you've done. Well, first of all, let's do this. GRB10 is a protein, correct, that the body produces on its own?
Yes.
This protein is a byproduct of what process?
Well, this is one, the full name for this protein is growth hormone receptor binding protein 10, which is one signaling molecule play with insulin signaling and mTOR signaling.
Now, we've talked about mTOR on this show for almost a decade because of its influence on protein synthetic response. We know that there's a lot of things that influence mTOR, high leucine protein in the diet. We also know that exercise can affect mTOR as well as growth factors and so on. But what is the relationship between mTOR and GRB10, it's actually mTOR C1 that's the target, right?
Yes.
So explain what mTOR C1 is. It's a complex, right?
Yeah, that's the mTOR complex 1.
And what role does mTOR complex 1 play in the body typically?
Okay, so, well, mTOR C1 functions as an energy sensor. As you just mentioned, it responds to, you know, growth hormone, nutrients, stress, and a lot of environmental factor, and also regulates several cell process, including the signaling, insulin action, and the translation, cell survival, cell growth.
Okay, so what is the relationship between mTOR C1 and mTOR itself? I know that when mTOR C1 is upregulated, lipogenesis is increased and lipolysis is decreased, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so what is the relationship between mTOR and mTOR C1?
Well, mTOR is the key component of mTOR complex 1. mTOR has two complexes, mTOR C1 and mTOR C2.
So if I'm understanding you, then an increase in mTOR activity would also have an increase in mTOR C1 activity as well, right?
That's correct.
But see, this is counterintuitive to me because we know that the types of things that stimulate a protein synthetic response also seem to have a direct effect on some things that inhibit lipogenesis and may increase lipolysis, such as uncoupling proteins, for instance. So how is it that is the body trying to balance the protection of fat because it sees fat as being a needed component and not an optional component, so that in the face of mTOR increase in muscle acquisition, it also tries to protect fat stores?
That's correct, because mTORC1, you know, it's the kinase, which activated by nutrition or growth hormone, and then inhibit lipolysis and then activate lipogenesis, by which store the lipid in the fat, and meanwhile inhibit the oxidation of the, you know, metabolite.
So this would indicate that the evolutionary machinery of our body is designed not to build a hypermuscular, ultra-lean human being, but instead to allow the acquisition of muscle in concert with the protection of fat.
Well, yes. You know, back to 500 years ago, we are, you know, kind of like in the starvation condition. So at that stage, so mTORC1 is required for us to store the fat and then protect our organ and have some beneficial effect.
Okay.
However, at this stage, because, you know, we are always overnutrition at this stage.
Right.
So it's become a bad guy in terms of obesity.
So when you use the GRB10 protein, how does this affect this balance of wanting to protect fat and create new fat?
Yeah, well, this is back to our original thought, because, you know, we need to decrease our food intake, increase physical activity to reach our goal, you know, lose our body weight. However, some individual failed to reach the goal by doing so.
Right.
So then we consider about the adaptive thermogenesis, which is non-shriveling thermogenesis contributed by fat, especially brown fat and beige fat. And then we talk about the mTOR signaling. We realize that this mTORC1 inhibit lipolysis, which is essential for the uncoupling protein function. And then we further determine how mTOR is regulated. And then we notice our signal molecule, GRB10, actually play with both insulin signaling and mTOR signaling, by which regulates thermogenesis.
Okay, now you just invoked a very, very polarizing term, brown adipose tissue. There's a lot of people out there who are investing a great deal of work into trying to figure out how to take white adipose tissue and make it beige or brown, because the assumption is that brown adipose tissue is active and it consumes energy, correct?
That's true.
Okay.
Burn the lipid.
Right. So what role does GRB10 play in influencing the browning of white adipose tissue?
Great. So great question. mTOR, it's kind of like a fire hydrant in the fat. When brown adipose tissue or beige adipose tissue get activated, so kind of the flame is on.
Mm-hmm.
However, mTOR function as the, you know, fire hydrant and then turn off the flame.
Okay.
So, and however, our GRB10, it's the negative regulator of mTORC1 signaling. So it's induced by the cold stress and then come to, you know, shut down the mTOR action and then keep the flame on for the browning.
So, in theory, one of the ways that this could be beneficial for an individual who is increasing activity and monitoring dietary intake but still not seeing the body fat loss that they're wanting, this could actually cause a transition or browning of white adipose tissue, which then would kind of devour itself over time, right?
Yeah, that's correct, because it was found that adaptive thermogenesis contribute about 30% of energy expenditure to our whole body. So if this part of energy expenditure is impaired, even though we increase our, you know, physical activity, but still couldn't reach the goal to significant enhance our total energy expenditure.
Does adipose tissue have the ability to convert back to white after it's converted to brown, or does once it's converted to brown, it stays that way?
Yeah, it's reversible, kind of, especially the beige fat. Because beige fat originally derived from the, you know, same progenitor cell as typical white adipocyte. So it's reversible, and the cold stress, we can see the browning of beige adipose tissue. Okay. However, if we take the half fat diet, and then it will get reversed. So the beige fat become more like white adipose tissue.
And just in the face of a high fat diet.
Yes.
That's amazing. I want to take a break. Dr. Liu, and I have lots more questions for you when we come back.
Okay.
We're talking right now with Dr. Mei-Lin Liu. We're talking about GRB10, a novel protein that may be the answer to those people who, for whatever reason, they just cannot seem to rid themselves of body fat. We're going to talk more about this after the break. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back. This is one of those things I think it's going to be 30 years from now, and people are going to go, oh, damn, this didn't work out right.
He's serving up an all-you-can-eat buffet of brain food.
It's gotten worse for us who are overweight because we're now paying our fair share for things that we didn't have to before.
Get it while it's hot.
The fact that there's only 50% of the population is obese, that means the other 50% is doing something different.
You're listening to your daily dose of wisdom. Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore.
Superhumans using Percova Extra Edge Colostrum Powder are experiencing dramatic improvements in strength, performance, recovery, and endurance. Benefits that cannot be duplicated by any other supplement. Percova Extra Edge Colostrum Powder will take your game to another level. If you already know how great Percova Extra Edge Colostrum is, you could purchase 4 jars of Extra Edge Colostrum Powder for $200. Use coupon code SHR2. See the Percova banner ad on superhumanradio.com today. Train harder, train longer, recover faster, and elevate protein synthesis. It's finally here, Splice, with branched-chain amino acids, taurine, and trimethylglycine. You'll blast through your workouts without the need for stimulants, and the alpha-lactalbumin ensures your workouts will be the most productive because nothing accelerates muscle growth faster. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Predator Nutrition banner ad and use the coupon code SPLYCE10 to save 10% off today. Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. AgeForce introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now Patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order. The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. KetoForce is the first ketone salt that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of Keto Force and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Keto Force banner ad today.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
It's new, it's cutting edge, and it's custom made to get you to gain Gainesville. The Blueprint Meteoric is here. Meteoric is the final frontier for drug-free athletes. Includes brand new breakthrough information about triphasic energy system training and macronutrient cycling, specifically designed to transform your physique and record time. For a limited time, get the Blueprint Meteoric for free, along with the legendary Add 1 Inch to Your Upper Arms in a Single Workout when you subscribe to the Blueprint Bulletin. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Blueprint banner ad.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Mei-Lin Liu. We're talking about GRB10 and its effect on fat loss. Very, very exciting discussion. So, Dr. Liu, let's talk a little bit more about brown adipose tissue for a second. Part of my frustration about brown adipose tissue and its pursuit is that muscle does the same thing. By acquiring more muscle, your metabolic rate goes up, your resting metabolic rate goes up, so you use more energy than if you did not have more muscle. And we know how to build muscle. Why is it just focusing on the protein synthetic response of mTOR, the solution here in getting people to just acquire more lean body mass?
Yes.
Well, I'm asking you, why isn't that the focus? Why is the focus to try to convert white adipose tissue to brown adipose tissue? Why not just have people build more muscle?
Oh, that's very different. The reason is because brown adipose tissue, it's the fat tissue.
Right.
Which can burn the lipid more efficiently than muscle.
Oh, really? I didn't realize
yes.
that. Okay.
And then more importantly, beige fat is originally from the same stem cell as white adipocyte, but it also helps to burn the lipid as well.
I gotcha. Okay.
So they have a dual function.
I see what you're saying, because muscle can burn glucose or glycogen, and it could also use ketones, and it also could use fatty acids. But what you're saying is the fat only burns the triglycerides, only the fatty acids, right?
That helps us a lot more.
Okay, so explain, you did, there was some research done that you cited in your paper on fat-specific raptor knockout mice and its effect on uncoupling protein. Can you explain what is special about this knockout mouse?
Well, this raptor fat tissue-specific knockout mice paper was published in the Cell Metabolism a couple years ago. Well, in this animal, we find the author found a very obvious phenotype. This mice is lean. It's resistant to diet-induced obesity and insulin resistant. And more importantly, they found the UCP1 expression is like 100-fold increase
wow.
in the white adipose tissue.
In the white adipose tissue, it's higher.
Yes. Which means may increase the beige fat, development.
So it doesn't even have to convert to brown adipose tissue. The white adipose tissue burns more fatty acids.
Yes, that's
wow.
right.
Now, okay, so let's go back to GRB10 for a second. So this protein, GRB10, influences mTORC1 so that the body starts to, in lack of better terms, burn its own body fat, correct?
Yes.
But mTORC1 has other influences as well, does it not? It affects protein synthesis. Obviously, it affects lipogenesis and lipolysis. It affects energy expenditure, but it also affects autophagy, which concerns me. How does mTORC1 affect autophagy?
Well, mTORC1 is a master regulator of autophagy. mTORC1 inhibits autophagy in many cell types. Yeah.
So by inhibiting mTORC1, we not only allow the body to rid itself of body fat, autophagy increases as well. And autophagy is important because it gets rid of metabolic waste, right?
Yes, that's true. So that's the beneficial effect.
Wow. Okay, so now, so this GRB10, this is a protein that is currently produced in some people?
Oh, yes, definitely yes. And then it's highly expressed in brown fat.
Okay, are there known ways of increasing its production in human beings?
Well, that's what I recommend. If we stay in the little colder environment and then swimming in the cold water and do more skiing, and then just cold stress will induce this protein expression.
But here's so we've talked about cold thermogenesis on this show. There are lots of people who promote cold thermogenesis as a way of converting white adipose tissue to brown adipose tissue and losing body fat. And they recommend that people sit in ice baths for 30 minutes, 20 minutes a day to rid themselves of body fat. But this must be an acute effect, because we just have to look at humans that live in cold climates to know they are not losing body fat, they're accumulating body fat. So how is it different? How is it different to expose the body to periods of cold that will convert white adipose tissue to brown? But then when we look at the Inuit that lives in ice cold conditions all the time, they carry unusual amounts of body fat, high amounts of body fat. Why aren't they lean?
Well, that's a very interesting question, because, so when we really get exposed to the cold stress, some individual will eat more, and then so eventually they didn't make, that happen. So it's stimulate brown fat and the beige fat, and meanwhile they eat more, so still keep the energy in balance. So that's why, as you said, they didn't reach the goal. So, but what we are thinking about is, we are thinking about some hormone, because cold stress induce lots of things, especially the response in the brain. So, and then we try to simplify the stimuli for glutathione upregulation. I think the hormone called non-leptinephrine, secreted from a sympathetic neuron, which may specific target to the brown and beige fat and then induce glutathione expression.
So in summary, it sounds like you're saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I want to make sure I understand this, what you're saying is that if the conditions of cold are continuous for long periods of time, the body then starts to change the hormonal milieu that has the ability to convert the white adipose tissue to brown adipose tissue?
Yes.
So this only works if you live in a normal climate, a warm climate or a moderately warm climate, but then subject yourself to periods of cold, very, very cold conditions, in a very, very specific setting and scale. Would you agree with that statement?
Oh, yeah. Sometimes this is it's acute or long-term. So I don't know, different people feel different way, even in the same, temperature. So I know that around my office, there are lots of people feel, hot, and then when I feel very cold. So if you feel cold, your brain will respond to cold stress. You know what I'm talking?
Yes.
So that's an individual different.
Okay, so the next question I have about brown adipose tissue is this. We know that rodents have the ability to carry a large amount of brown adipose tissue, but in humans who have successfully converted white adipose tissue to brown adipose tissue, it's very, very small amounts. And in fact, there's a condition where this happens in moderately obese individuals, and the localization of brown adipose tissue is up in the back, higher portion of the back, right below the neck, between the shoulder blades and nowhere else. So
yes.
What leads you to believe that humans could even convert significant amounts of white adipose tissue to brown when all of the research out there says humans don't do that? Rodents do, but humans don't do that.
Yeah, that's correct. So actually, in 2009, Ron Kahn's lab in Harvard Medical School, who identified the brown fat in human beings around the neck and the back.
Right.
So, which can be induced by cold exposure. So what I'm trying to say is, well, cold exposure is suffering for us. You know, so we try to find some alternative way which can mimic the cold stress and then stimulate the brown fat.
Gotcha.
As we know, the brown fat is very small amount. It's about maybe less than 5% of total fat mass. So how can we induce them without cold stress? That's a very challenging question. And I think lots of scientists and the researchers are working on that.
Okay. I want to take a quick commercial break. When I come back, I want to get back on GRB10, okay? We're going to talk more about, okay, so stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
He's exposing the man behind the curtain in the organic discussion.
Whole Foods is getting prepared for this onslaught of new customers by finding ways to fool them into buying things that aren't organic, thinking that they are, which is the way they led into the industry. Back in the day when people remember Whole Foods, there were people that are going in there and going, oh, well, this is all organic. I bought it at Whole Foods. And, oh, no. They do sell conventional stuff there. They do? Yeah.
Exposing the myths in our grocery stores.
And then Whole Foods started labeling it more clearly what was organic and what was conventional. But there was a whole period of time where people were buying what they thought was organic when it wasn't. And they were charging more. Whole Foods prices was a conventionally grown produce. Similar price to what other stores were selling organic, and that made it even more confusing for the consumer. They thought, well, how could it be? I just paid $3.45 for a pound of apples. That's what that store sells organic. You're telling me I bought conventional apples? Yep, you did.
Carl Lenore on Superhuman Radio.
Scientists around the world confirm the vital importance of redox signaling to cell health. ASEA is the first and only stable, perfectly balanced mixture of these redox signaling reactive molecules that exist outside of living cells and can be used to help maintain proper balance inside the body to support the immune system, recovery, and the healing process. To learn more about ASEA and what it can do for you, go to superhumanradio.com and click the ASEA banner ad today.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee Eye Drops. The name says it all.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to gum disease. It does not contain fluoride, detergent, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good people will comment about it. Right now you can get a buy one get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD, and neither should you.
Power Block dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair, and they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937 or click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free brochure.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Mei-Lin Liu about GRB10, a protein that may influence fat loss and could be on the horizon very shortly, given the obese nature of the planet right now. Dr. Liu, I want to talk directly about GRB10 specifically because in just this this month of May, doctors Yu, Quao, and Bosco published a paper that showed intermittent cold exposure enhanced fat accumulation in mice as opposed to the opposite. So I think the real answer here is what happens when you administer GRB10 directly to the rodents? Do you see the fat going away?
Well, so in our study, we generate the fat tissue-specific knockout mice for GRB10.
Mm-hmm.
So in that mice model, we find this fat tissue get expand. It's more sensitive to diet-induced obesity and insulin resistance. So in the following study, we are trying to generate the GRB10 fat tissue-specific transgenic model, which may be a beneficial animal model for the obesity study.
So I want to make sure I'm understanding you. Did you administer GRB10 to the rodents? And if so, did you see a dramatic change in fat storage, lipogenesis, lipolysis?
So are you talking about the GRB10 mouse,
right,
or GRB10 itself? Well, yes. In the GRB10 knockout mice, we see increased lipogenesis and then reduced lipolysis.
Ah, I got you now. Okay, so these were knockout mice that produced more GRB10. I got you now. Okay.
Yes.
And so if we were to administer GRB10, because it's available as a recombinant human peptide, it's just a peptide, it's a folded protein. If we were to introduce GRB10, would we expect to see the same effects? Quite often, things that happen in a rodent that is mutated to not produce something doesn't always play out when you just reduce it in an existing animal or human to therapeutic levels. We don't see the same thing as a rodent that is predisposed to not producing something or producing more of something. Would we expect to be able to administer GRB10 to individuals and see them lose body fat?
Yes. Well, so that's the reason we are generating the GRB10 transgenic animal model, see whether the increased expression level of GRB10 in fat will enhance lipolysis and the thermogenic function.
And so when you do a knockout rodent, they don't produce any they produce an excessive amount of GRB10, right?
No, when in the knockout mice, the GRB10 is disrupted.
Okay. So those rats would end up getting fatter, correct?
Yes, it's fatter and impaired thermogenic function.
Okay. So have you done research with rats that overproduce GRB10?
That's what we are working right now.
Ah, okay. Thank you. Thank you. Now
yeah,
I understand.
Yeah, ongoing. It's ongoing.
Okay. Because that's going to be the answer. And to what degree, how much of an increase in production in GRB10 must occur to see this kind of influence? Because obviously that'll give us answers to the question, well, how can we use recombinant human GRB10 to influence fat loss. So that's good to know. Okay, let's.
Yeah, that's very true. So that's why we are on the process to generate this transgenic animal model to answer that question: whether increased graftin level, has the opposite way to increase thermogenesis, increase lipolysis, and then reduce the fat mass against obesity.
Okay, I want to talk about the endogenous production of GRB10 for a second. Is this something that is produced by, say, the endoplasmic reticulum, which we know is responsible for folding and producing proteins in the body?
Sorry, I didn't get your question just now. I didn't hear you very well.
The GRB10, the endogenous form, the form produced in humans, is this produced by the endoplasmic reticulum?
I don't think so.
Where is it produced?
Because the graftin is not secret protein.
Say that again?
No, graftin is the plasma protein, cell plasma, cytoplasmic.
So it's not secret protein. So there is a cytoplasmic reticulum as well, right?
Yes.
Is there not? Okay,
yes.
So it would be produced by the cytoplasmic reticulum, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So we know there are a lot of things that influence the reticulums to malform and malproduce proteins. One of those things is wild fluctuations in blood sugar. Another one of those is fragmented sleep. Another one is influenced by toxins in the environment. Could it be that part of the obesogenic model today is that adequate amounts of GRB10 are being impaired from being produced because the cytoplasmic reticulum is somehow being mistreated by the environment or by our lifestyle today?
Well, yes, we did study some clinical relevance of this protein graftin with obese and diabetes. Well, we found that in the obese patient, the graftin level in the brown fat was reduced. And then in the aging patient, graftin level was also reduced. So which means the graftin is associated with obesity and aging process.
Interesting. And we know that the cytoplasmic reticulum as well as the endoplasmic reticulum become less efficient as we age. So this could be part of the problem right there and why we seem to put on body fat as we age because of malformed proteins not doing their job. Very, very interesting. Very interesting.
Yes.
So
yes.
When do you suspect that you will be done with this next transgenic rodent model, so we'll have some sort of information about how much GRB10 is required in order to influence the lipogenesis-lipolysis balance?
Well, when we generate this transgenic animal model, we expect the expression level, exogenous graftin level will be 2 or 3-fold of for endogenous level, and we expect this upregulation of GRB10 will, significantly increase lipolysis and the thermogenic gene expression, which is the feature of brawny.
Uh-huh. Interesting. This is exciting stuff because I see this not only being used for health purposes, but obviously for cosmetic purposes. People who undergo liposuction cause dangerous imbalances in fat cell presence in the body. The body responds by increasing lipogenesis in the viscera to make up for the subcutaneous fat that has been stolen. This would be a much better alternative, along with diet and exercise, to stimulate better than adequate fat reduction.
Yes, that's a very interesting point because we know that you know, during the development of obesity or aging. So the subcutaneous fat become more like visceral fat.
Mm-hmm.
So they store more fat and lose the ability to, you know, burn the lipid and help with energy expenditure. So if the graftin protein level was enhanced in the subcutaneous, which will maintain the ability to burn the lipid better.
The other thing that I just thought of was that I would imagine that because the GRB10 and the way it acts on fat, I would imagine that it would have a spot reduction capacity. For instance, if you were to inject the recombinant human GRB10 peptide just into a specific area of the body, that it would act directly and first, primarily, on the local fat cells that it's injected into. Does that make sense?
That definitely makes sense. Yeah, that's what we are trying to do in the future. Once we have the transgenic animal model, we can get the, you know, overexpressed graftin subcutaneous fat and then transplant to other obese mice, see whether it can reduce, you know, reduce the fat mass and help with the energy expenditure.
Interesting. I really, this is very exciting work. I want to be able to have you back on the show after you do this next study, and we can talk more specifically about the type of potential therapeutic uses of the recombinant human GRB10 peptide someday in the future.
Sure, we are looking forward to.
Thank you so much for taking time to be on the show, Dr. Liu.
Thank you.
Take care. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to be joined by Adele Musa, all the way from Munster, Germany, as we perform the Subversity second installment to nutrient deficiencies, their health consequences, and what you could do about it. And also, Adele is going to weigh in on the whole cold thermogenesis discussion, since it seems very appropriate to do on the heels of this interview. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Previously on Superhuman Radio.
You know, these politicians, they don't care. And you know what the worst part is? Their children and their grandchildren are being affected by these genetically modified foods.
The GMO issue affects everybody.
So they're not only just selling their own souls, they're selling the souls of their offspring, their grandchildren, their nieces and nephew, who are being exposed to these things that are going to cause disease.
Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore. Listen weekdays at noon.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
The UK is known for its queen, Big Ben, and fish and chips. Well, move over. Here's the UK's strongest pro-hormone, Extreme Mass. Extreme Mass will give you a significant amount of muscle and strength. Gains of up to 10 kilograms in a four-week cycle. You'll see an increase in libido, vascularity, and aggression. Shatter your personal bests in the gym while on Extreme Mass. Save 10% off. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Extreme Mass banner and use coupon code MASS10.
Just like Carl Lenore, jumpstart your day with a liquid shot of high-dose vitamin C. Everyone is searching for that magic formula to look better and feel better. We don't claim to have a magic formula, but we do know that more than 1 million people take a shot of our high-dose vitamin C supplement every day. They're rewarding their body with an important nutrient and antioxidant that is sugar-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. All of these benefits and no side effects. Unlike pills and powders, this high-tech bullet delivers vitamin C directly into your cells. Try Live-On Labs Vitamin C with a 100% money-back guarantee. Save $10 when you order now. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com or call 1-866-790-2107. That's 1-866-790-2107. And mention code SHRC to save $10 off each carton. Carl sees the benefits. So will you.
Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. H-Force introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now Patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in Can-See eye drops. I've been using Can-See for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day and the results are visible. You can find Can-See eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. Can-See eye drops. The name says it all.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. We are fortunate to be joined by the brilliant and talented Adele Musa, all the way from Munster, Germany. How are you doing, Adele?
I'm doing fine, and I'm actually fortunate to be invited again.
Yeah, no, this is great. So we're going to do part two of the nutrient deficiency discussion. But before we get into that, you and I were messaging back and forth during my last interview with Dr. Liu, and you were generous enough to actually send me that study by Dr. Who. I sound like I'm
initially
rhyming.
Initially, I was shocked because I thought I had overlooked that this is the same person, but then I realized it's almost the same for someone who's not who doesn't have an Asian background and for whom all the names sound so similar.
Yeah, yeah. So Dr. Who just did a study that you cited in Subversity on May 10th of this month, showing that the intermittent exposure to coal doesn't work, even in rodents. It makes them fat too, right?
Right. So while in the very, very short term, it looks as if you were burning more calories during the cold exposure, you can't use this chronically, even if you do it only for a couple of hours a day, because this will eventually cause an adaptive response, of which the Dr. Liu, who was on the show, said that it would only occur if you are living in a cold climate 24/7.
Right.
So the basic notion that you could lose body fat or at least avoid getting fat by lying in a cold tub for an hour or so every day is actually radically false, at least if we don't assume that cold thermogenesis works completely different in humans than it does in rodents. On the other hand, the people who recommend doing this, they base most of their argumentation line on rodent studies, so this wouldn't make sense.
So a listener of the show respectfully asked me to reconsider my position on cold thermogenesis because so many people, and one of which the name I have great deal of respect for, Mark Sisson, has written about cold thermogenesis. So I feel like I need to be open-minded, but there seems to be more to it that we haven't discovered. Would you agree with that, or do you think it doesn't work at all?
Well, personally, I think it doesn't work at all because this is one of those simple solutions where common wisdom or common sense would tell you that it works. But in the end, when you consider the human body, or when you think about the human body as an adaptive machine,
right,
it just doesn't seem right that this is going to work. Because the best way to spend too much energy, which is one of the most important things our bodies are always trying to do, is actually to react to the repeated acute exposure by accumulating more body fat, which is what happens.
Yeah.
On the other hand, in a context where you are using it as part of a diet regime, where you don't consume enough energy or you consume less energy than you expend, it can work. But I have calculated in one of the older articles I've written, I actually put it up on in the thread on Facebook. So for people who are listening live, it's up there. The article is called "Cold Thermogenesis, a Safer Feed Alternative." I've tried to calculate, based on a couple of human studies, how much energy you can actually spend. And those were 70 kilocalories in 24 hours.
That's not much.
So, no, that's not much, and actually pretty negligible.
Yeah, so, and again, you know, we're always looking, and my other, the other thing that Dr. Liu didn't get from me, when I was comparing the fact that we know how to acquire muscle, and we know that it can consume energy, and turning white adipose tissue into brown adipose tissue in humans seems to be a bit more elusive, even given the fact that she said that adipose tissue consumes exclusively triglycerol, a fatty acid. It still seems to me that adding lean body mass is easier. We know how to do it. It's predictable, and it will consume energy.
Yeah, and there's another factor involved here. I mean, we are often talking about losing body fat, but in the end, okay, there's the cosmetic benefit of losing body fat. But where's the cosmetic benefit if you don't have the muscle under the body fat to show?
Right.
This is one factor. The other thing is, I think we should be smarter, especially scientists should be smarter than looking beyond, than just looking at loss of body fat, because there is obviously a clear-cut association with loss of body fat, and even with general loss of body weight and health at any age. On the other hand, if we are talking at one of our major problems, which is healthy aging and aging in a way that is worth living, then the amount of lean body mass of muscle, and even more so the muscle strength, are critical parameters that determine healthy or healthy and worth living, aging at a healthy and worth living state, or in a healthy and worth living state.
Yeah, obviously that makes perfect sense. It makes no difference if you're lean, if you have no muscle on your body and you can't even get out of a chair any longer. So it's you're right, I don't know if she had a hard time understanding me or I didn't.
Yeah, I think that was part of the problem. And also, if you think about the use of GLB-10, I've been browsing a couple of studies, and there is basically it is a matter of how it binds to mTOR, what it does. So I would be very cautious about predicting what happens when you actually administer it.
Uh-huh. Interesting. Yeah, there you go. So there's no short term solution to a long-term problem like gaining muscle and burning body fat. Okay, so do we have anything else to add to the discussion?
To the one specific to thermogenesis?
Yeah.
Well, not really. Maybe we could segue into something that is related to thermogenesis, and people probably have read my article about this, or even the actual paper that was published recently
About choline intake?
Not about choline intake, but rather about the intake of high amounts of protein. And
I saw that. It was like a sixfold or tenfold higher than what the RDA is. It was like 300 grams a day, right?
Right, it was, right. And actually the results were quite astonishing, and I think that some people really celebrate this as a confirmation of you can eat as much protein as you want and still not gain body fat. Because in this study, there was no change at all, and the guys in the high protein group allegedly increased their, not just their protein intake, but also their energy intake by roughly 800 kilocalories per day.
Wow.
On the other hand, this is based on food logs and not on food logs that were analyzed over the whole study period. So I would be very critical of of the assumption that they were actually eating 800 kilocalories in addition. I mean, the study shows this. I believe this is correct. But we all know how difficult it is for people to log their food intake. And if you think that they were gobbling down protein shakes all day to get to those increase in protein intake, I'm still a bit skeptical. It's possible, but I wouldn't rely too much on it. And there is one factor involved I would like to emphasize. They were still eating about 200 grams of carbohydrates a day. And I think this is one important point, not in terms of not gaining body fat, but in terms of staying functional.
Right.
Because if you eat this amount of protein, you are never, ever going into ketosis. And this means that your body would have, in case you don't eat enough carbohydrates as well, to get all his usable energy by making your liver produce glucose from the protein you eat. And the first, actually, you can really measure this quite easily. When you're in a state where you're just using protein as a source of energy, you will usually see elevations in the liver enzymes AST and ALT.
What about urea? What about ammonia and uric acid production?
Also, and there are even studies that suggest that this can profoundly hamper performance in the worst case.
So really, one of the early signs that your body is not getting enough carbohydrates in your high-protein diet, and your high-protein diet is not suited for a ketogenic diet, it's not going to get you to a ketogenic state. One of the earliest signs may be the fact that you smell like cat urine after your workout or ammonia.
Of course, yes. This would be one of the early signs.
And right? I remember being in this condition. When I was living in Vegas, I mean in Phoenix the last time, I remember coming home. And it smelled like my T-shirt was dipped in ammonia. It was my sweat. So clearly I was not eating enough carbs, and I was eating too much protein to be in a state of ketosis. So my body was being forced to produce energy from the amino acids.
Yeah. And there's also not so recent evidence, but I've written about that as well, that there is a problem with a very high BCAA diet. So especially if you're consuming all the protein from supplements, you will get plenty of BCAAs because in general this is very beneficial. On the other hand, this leads to at least in studies that it has been shown to reduce both the level of dopamine and serotonin in the brain.
Wow.
Because it inhibits the uptake of both precursors if you consume it at excessive levels and in the wrong ratios with the other essential amino acids. So for all the people who are drinking all the BCAAs all day long, for one, they don't counter a catabolism because you can't run an engine by just pushing the gas pedal. And this is what BCAAs do. Mm-hmm. You also need the fuel for protein synthesis. And this is the main mechanism or the main set screw you have to reduce catabolism is actually to increase anabolism. You will always, regardless of taking your protein intake or your BCAA intake, have a certain and not negligible amount of protein breakdown. And therefore you need to consume BCAAs along with the substrate to have to have the protein synthesis going on to counter this. So it really doesn't make any sense to consume tons of BCAAs in isolation.
The body is always trying to keep that in balance, isn't it? It's always trying to keep the acquisition of muscle in balance because muscle is very expensive to maintain.
Certainly, yes. Yeah. So in general, it's not actually what your body wants. It doesn't want to be very muscular because this is expensive and difficult. It actually makes life difficult for you in very many ways in the original setting. In our setting, it's not difficult to feed the muscle, obviously. But still, if you are living not in one of the Western countries where you're living in affluence, it would be difficult and different.
How about we take a break, and when we come back, we get underway with part two of nutrient deficiencies.
Right, let's do this.
And so, because we're going to talk more about lipolysis indirectly when we talk about stacking some of the things you're talking about today, right?
Right.
So
yeah.
Perfect. Okay, so you're listening to the Subversity Science Roundup with Adel Moussa. This is part two of a three-part series. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
He's got the information that's perfectly healthy for you to snack on. He's Carl Lenore on Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
In a world of advanced bodybuilding supplementation, the numbers don't lie. Fact, Iron Mag Labs is among the fastest growing hardcore supplement companies in the world. Fact, when it comes to no-nonsense, cutting-edge products, nobody delivers results like Iron Mag Labs. Fact, the Iron Mag Labs line of innovative formulation has set a new industry standard with products that are helping world-class bodybuilders reach levels they never thought possible. Iron Mag Labs is a proud supporter of bodybuilders everywhere. Discover the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements on the market. Visit IronMagLabs.com today.
By now, everyone knows I'm a big proponent of dairy. But as we all know, not all dairy is created equal. Learn more about a form of dairy made available to us that is raw, organic, grass-fed, grass-finished, low-heat pasteurized, and cultured with probiotics, without the offensive beta-casein protein believed to be 13 times more toxic than gluten. Check out superhumandairy.com to learn more, or go to superhumanradio.com and click the green-fed dairy banner ad today.
Your physique is carved from sweat, reps, and discipline. It's time to show off your hard work with Quest Apparel. Clothes engineered to enhance the contours of your body. The makers of the number one selling Quest Bar created Quest Apparel with your body and philosophy in mind. Every shirt, pant, and dress has an inspirational custom tagline as a reminder to yourself and a subtle message to those around you that you carve your path to be the exception because you are made, not born. Go to QuestApparel.com. Enter code SUPERHUMAN to receive 20% off your purchase today.
Only one testosterone booster, Mahler's aggressive strength, raises testicular cholesterol levels while increasing gonadotropin-releasing hormone. That in turn turbocharges how much testosterone you can make. In a clinical trial, this resulted in a 347% increase in testosterone, and it won't bottom out your estrogen levels either, so your libido will be in high gear. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the aggressive strength banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and get 10% off today.
Power Block dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair, and they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937 or click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free brochure.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Welcome back. As Adel delivers nutrient deficiencies, their health effects, and what you can do about them, this is one that I've forgotten about until Adel started writing about it, and that's choline. Most of us don't get near enough choline, especially if you're afraid of eggs. Right, Adel?
Yeah, you're right. But actually, I want to briefly inform you that you brought me back on the choline track, so to say, because I only got really interested into choline when you were nice enough to send me the copies of Muscle Smoke and Mirrors. And choline was actually one of the supplements the bodybuilders back in the day were pounding. And I was interested whether any of the bro science myths around choline were true, because they said it would help digestion and it would especially make you look more vascular, and it would obviously be good to build muscle in general and to lose fat.
Well, do you know that in Arnold Schwarzenegger's Encyclopedia of Bodybuilding, he lists lecithin as a performance enhancing agent that he was completely against, And he cites that its mechanism of action was it increased choline in the body. And he says that lecithin is a performance-enhancing agent based on its ability to carry choline into the body.
True, yeah, it is. So lecithin is basically the maybe the most comes very close to the predominant form of choline in cells, which is phosphatidylcholine,
right.
Which is basically the form you will find that it's bound sort of to the fatty acid membrane of the cells. But in general, it's not absolutely necessary to get your choline in this form. As long as you have the healthy fats to produce the combination yourself, this will work as well. But for example, in eggs, you will also find it in this form. And in many other foods, if you consume your choline with foods, which is obviously, again, one of the best methods to get it,
right.
Because it comes with all the cofactors, you will usually get this preferable form, either as lecithin or in another form, which is also basically one of those already fatty acid-bound forms.
Another argument for why you should buy fertilized chicken eggs. Fertilized chicken eggs contain follistatin. We know this from the days of myostatin inhibition discussions on this show. But fertilized chicken eggs also contain almost a 100-fold higher degree of lecithin than unfertilized chicken eggs. So yet another reason why buying eggs from your farmer that are laid in the presence of a rooster will produce the best results from an egg-based diet.
They certainly do. So if you consume one egg, you would get about 115 milligrams from just one yolk. You actually don't get any choline from the egg white. And this is actually a good point to remind people that there's really nothing good in the egg white, except maybe from the protein you don't absorb if you don't consume the yolk as well. I remember discussing that back in the day with people who told me that if you don't boil your eggs, you're not going to absorb.
Uh-oh, I think we lost Adele. Is that possible? Adele, can you hear me? Okay, here we go. Okay, you're back on. Are you there, Adele? Adele, can you hear me? Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a real quick music interlude. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Those buckles and no pain. In die Stürmische See, denn keine Welle kann uns heute sagen, wir werden weh zurück auf Matrosen, okay.
Adele, are you there? Hello?
Yes, I'm there. I was
okay,
just on mute.
You were saying about that people used to say that if you don't boil your eggs, that you won't absorb things. That was back in the day when raw eggs were being popularized and companies were coming out with pasteurized egg products and saying that the Avidin was causing a blockage of uptake of certain B vitamins and choline. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, that's obviously one problem. The Avidin is another problem. But in general, there is the discussion about the protein uptake, not just the other nutrients. And the funny thing is that there are actually studies which show that most of the protein goes right through you if you don't boil your eggs. But what people forget is that these studies were done with egg white only. And if you consume the egg white only, you obviously don't get any fat, and that's a problem. Because if you don't get any fat, you won't get the necessary digestive enzymes, and it will actually really pass through you. If you consume the whole egg and get even, fat and protein at almost a 1-to-1 ratio, this is not a real problem.
Okay, so getting choline, how much choline should a person be getting a day, whether it's from diet or let's say they're supplementing with lecithin?
Well, that's in a way that's a bit difficult to tell because there's obviously the RDA for choline, and there is what you would probably what you would probably suggest when you look at the research out there.
Okay, so what is suggested based on the research out there? Because we know the RDA is meaningless these days.
Well, what I would suggest is that you should try to get to up to 500 to 600 milligrams per day.
Isn't it true that if you get too much choline, you start to smell like a fish?
that is true for some people, but for most it is not, and especially not if you're getting it from foods.
Okay. All right, so 500 to 600 milligrams a day, and what will we see with 500 to 600 milligrams a day of choline? Should we see anything, increase in performance, mental acuity?
Well, that's as usual difficult to say. I mean, we all know that for those nutrient deficiencies, we always tend to assume that if we take more, the exact opposite of what happens if you're deficient will happen. So this would mean for choline that your brain health would increase and you would get smarter by the minute, that your heart would start pumping more effectively, that your liver would be in perfect shape, and so on and so forth. But choline is one of those, it's not only one of those, as all the nutrients, it is the case that when you consume too much of it, it becomes unhealthy. So I would stick to this medium level of choline intake, really, and not try to go overboard. Although there are interesting studies which show that when you take 1 gram of choline and 200 milligrams of caffeine and I think 1 gram of carnitine a day, this helped a couple of women in a scientific study which was published in a peer-reviewed magazine to lose a significant amount of body fat. And this is actually interesting because choline is required to maintain and to increase the carnitine levels to a height at which they actually make a difference in terms of fat burning.
Choline also acts as a neurotransmitter, correct?
It does, yeah.
In fact, correct me if I'm wrong, but nerve gases like sarin actually act on, choline esterase or acetylcholine esterase. So by having the enzyme that breaks choline down go away, all the nerves in the body start to fire simultaneously and the body just goes haywire.
Yeah, the choline is like the protective cap on the nerve, or acetylcholine, so to say.
So would it be fair to say that acetylcholine, which is a downstream metabolite of choline, could actually be affecting people, or the lack of it could actually be impairing people's strength and performance?
No, because this is a funny thing. It works in the central nervous system as an inhibitory agent, and it also works in the cardiac tissue as an inhibitory agent. But interestingly, at the neuromuscular junction in the skeletal muscle, it does the opposite.
Oh.
It has an excitatory it works as an excitatory neurotransmitter. So, in essence, not having enough choline will do the following. It will increase the stress levels in your brain and on your heart, but it will decrease the positive stress which is required, obviously, for the muscles to work during a workout.
Interesting. So you better get enough choline, it sounds like. I have a bunch of lecithin from sunflower seeds at home. I have literally a big jar of it, and I haven't used it for anything. And I'm wondering if I should just start. I have to find out what the choline concentration is of, say, a teaspoon of it. And I'm going to try to get a half a gram a day and see what happens.
I would suggest you try it, yeah. I wouldn't expect real benefits because you're one of the person who's not really likely to be deficient. But the average American is relatively likely to be deficient in choline.
Well, but I have to be honest with you. I have not eaten eggs in some time. This is the way I am. I'm very cyclical in my diet. I just kind of fall out of favor with things, and I just stopped. And I just started eating eggs again recently, like a couple, 3 days ago. So I have not been eating eggs much at all throughout the winter. I don't know where else I would get choline from. What other food sources are high in choline?
Well, let me check. I have a table in the article I also posted on Facebook. So among the omnivore foods, which are obviously the ones you would eat, the best one is actually egg yolk with 682 milligrams per 100 gram.
Wow.
So you would just have to consume 100 gram of egg yolk and you would be good to go. I'm not sure if the next ones are on everybody's favorite list because these are organ meats.
Wait, let me guess. Liver has to be one, right?
Liver, of course, right? But even more kidney, beef kidney, and beef brain. And this one is probably one that could convince a couple of people who have at least the funds to pay it, caviar. So the eggs of fish.
Wow.
They have 491 milligrams, which is pretty good, actually. Better than a beef liver, for example, which has 420. Then we get down, and it gets interesting, dried whey, 225. But I'm not quite sure if this is retained in all protein powders you buy, but you could check on the label whether it's in there or not.
Dairy has no choline in it?
In general, yes, but only in the dried part, right? So if you drink milk, most of it is water.
Oh.
So there's not that much choline in it. So if you look at the list of omnivore foods, obviously cheese is on it because this has the least water of all the regular dairy foods. But it's still only 65 milligrams.
Interesting.
All right, condensed milk is almost 90.
And that's why, because it's condensed, it's concentrated.
Right.
Yeah. So it sounds like eggs really are where you have to start to get your choline.
And for the vegetarians out there, actually, there are not that many extremely high, extremely good sources. You can use shiitake mushrooms, which are the ones I found to be on the top of the list, 202 milligrams, and obviously soy protein isolates, and interestingly enough, wheat germ cereals. So I'm not sure if everyone. I mean, there's still the debate about soy being problematic. But in general, at least for the soy protein isolates, most of the studies don't really show that it makes so much of a difference. So, I mean, if you think that you have to stay away from all animal foods, then I would usually recommend other protein sources. But in terms of getting protein and choline at the same time, which is what the good old bodybuilders already knew would be a good idea.
Right.
Soy is your best source.
Okay. So, and before we take this break, choline, carnitine, and caffeine stack seems to produce some body fat loss in the women that were studied. Does it have to be L-carnitine? Does it matter, just straight carnitine?
Well, in the study, it was L-carnitine. And in general, I suppose it does not really matter, although I don't think that acetyl L-carnitine will work.
And it's triggered thermogenesis in the test subjects, right?
Yeah, obviously it did, because it should be quite clear that caffeine, it does in a way trigger thermogenesis, although this may not have been the major mechanism. The real trick about... I think caffeine in a way was the trigger to get the fat loss done. But if you think about choline and L-carnitine, they're the perfect couple in terms of facilitating fat loss or facilitating fat burning. Because if you look at the one problem you actually have with carnitine and why it really doesn't work for fat loss as some people thought maybe 10 or 20 years ago, is that you can take as much of it as you want, and it will leave your body pretty fast. So it does not even have the time to take effect.
Okay.
And this is actually what choline does. Choline really helps your body to keep the carnitine in, and I think this is what made this stack so successful in the study, that you had the choline and the carnitine at the same time, and you actually managed to increase the carnitine levels. On the other hand, you must think about choline also in a different way, because choline is very, very, very important for the liver. So if you don't get enough choline, you can already subscribe to the increasing, become part of the increasing, still minority, but I don't know how long it will take before they become the majority of people who suffer from non-alcoholic fatty liver disease.
Right.
Because you really need the choline for the liver to do its fat burning job, so to say. And if you don't have it, your liver will start to overproduce hydrogen peroxide, and this will obviously have negative effects on the cells in the liver, and it will slowly become built up fat on the one hand, and also become necrotic, that is, the cells will die on the other hand.
Wow. And you know what? And again, I feel like I haven't been getting enough choline. And I have to tell you something. I've noticed, I could be wrong about this, but I think I have experienced over the past couple years some hepatic hypertrophy, which I know occurs as we age. But I think that there's a reason it occurs as we age, and it's not necessarily an absolute everyone has to get it. And I'm starting to wonder, maybe there are some things going on in my liver that I have produced by my lack of certain things in my diet.
Possible.
As
usual, it's usually not just one nutrient, but always a combination.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, I agree. So don't forget, I increased my alcohol intake in the past 4 or 5 years. That has a role in it.
Yeah, of course you need choline, because just to bring this figure in, I didn't have it before. I have written about it, but I forgot the exact number. So if you look at the figures, the latest study I have actually says that about 92% of the Americans don't get enough choline, and that's the normal RDA.
And go figure why. Everybody's afraid to eat eggs because doctors tell them it'll give them cholesterol and heart disease, and it's full of fat, and fat is no good. And look what we've done. Look what we've done to ourselves. It's terrible. All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll pick it up. Where are we going when we come back, Adele? You want to talk about some other nutrient deficiencies, right?
You can, yeah.
Okay, stay tuned. You're listening to the Subversity Science Roundup with Adele Musa. We'll be right back.
We're like an audio workout for your mind. You're listening to Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore. We'll be right back.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Scientists around the world confirm the vital importance of redox signaling to cell health. ICEA is the first and only stable, perfectly balanced mixture of these redox signaling reactive molecules that exist outside of living cells and can be used to help maintain proper balance inside the body to support the immune system, recovery, and the healing process. To learn more about ICEA and what it can do for you, go to superhumanradio.com and click the ICEA banner ad today.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to gum disease. It does not contain fluoride, detergents, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good people will comment about it. Right now you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD. And neither should you.
Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. H-Force introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now Patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order.
Your physique is carved from sweat, reps, and discipline. It's time to show off your hard work with Quest Apparel. Clothes engineered to enhance the contours of your body. The makers of the number one selling Quest Bar created Quest Apparel with your body and philosophy in mind. Every shirt, pant, and dress has an inspirational custom tagline as a reminder to yourself and a subtle message to those around you that you carved your path to be the exception because you are made, not born. Go to questapparel.com and enter code SUPERHUMAN to receive 20% off your purchase today.
Just like Carl Lenore, jumpstart your day with a liquid shot of high-dose vitamin C. Everyone is searching for that magic formula to look better and feel better. We don't claim to have a magic formula, but we do know that more than 1 million people take a shot of our high-dose vitamin C supplement every day. They're rewarding their body with an important nutrient and antioxidant that is sugar-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. All of these benefits and no side effects. Unlike pills and powders, this high-tech bullet delivers vitamin C directly into your cells. Try Live-On Labs Vitamin C with a 100% money-back guarantee. Save $10 when you order now. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com or call 1-866-790-2107. That's 1-866-790-2107. And mention code SHRC to save $10 off each carton. Carl sees the benefits. So will you.
Build muscle. Burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Uh-oh, it's raining out. Welcome back.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
Sunshine all day over here in Germany.
Is it a nice day?
Yeah, it is. It was really hot earlier today, but it looks as if it might start to rain and with a couple of lightning strikes and stuff like this later today.
Yeah. So let's talk about fat-soluble vitamins, because everybody's afraid of them. And every time you turn around, fat-soluble vitamins are being implicated in harming people. And doctors tell people not to overdo the fat-soluble vitamins because they accumulate and they're not water-soluble. Most people don't like them because they go, why don't you take vitamin D and vitamin A? Well, they're not water-soluble. They stay in your body. So you're designed to stay in your body. So let's talk about them first.
Funnily, the water-soluble vitamins obviously also stay in your body. I mean, how could you possibly develop neuropathy from too much vitamin B6 if it wouldn't stay in your body?
Right. Good point.
Because it is a chronic. It accumulates. The development of the neuropathy is chronic. It takes years or at least months.
Yeah. Oh, Alex Leaf just messaged me. He said choline is also a methyl donor. And so methylation is very important in the liver.
Right. This is also part of why it's so important for the liver, right? And this is also part of how it actually reduces the hydrogen peroxide production. And you can get rid, obviously, of your high homocysteine levels, which have been associated with heart disease risk.
Right.
But they are probably rather corollary, at least in my mind, than causatively involved.
Right.
But at the same time, choline has been associated with significantly reduced or high enough choline consumption has been associated with a significantly reduced cardiac disease risk. So obviously choline battles the underlying cause.
Interesting. So I was just looking at, first of all, did you know the word lecithin comes from the Greek word for egg yolk, first of all?
Oh, it does. Oh, that's
isn't that kind of cool? And it looks like 1.5 tablespoons of lecithin contains 2.3 grams of phosphatidylcholine. That's a lot.
Yeah.
But 1.5 tablespoons is also a large amount of lecithin.
Yeah, I would be careful with those, with those amounts, because some of the different forms of choline and the ones which are already bound to fats and work better or get better into the brain or work better into the brain, they can actually make you tired. You may try to take it in the evening. And I remember there was a very popular workout, a pre-workout out there back in the day. It's no longer available, which had significant amounts of GPC in it.
Yeah.
And GLPC, I think it's GLPC, right?
Right. GLPC, right.
I don't know, maybe it was a personal reaction, but for me, very low doses already made me tired. And whenever I took that before I went to the gym, I almost fell asleep when I was at gym training. Although there was obviously also caffeine in the product.
Interesting. I'm just trying to figure out, so it looks like it looks to me like, let's see here, 2,300 divided by 7. So it looks like a teaspoon would be about 328 milligrams of phosphatidylcholine.
That would be ideal as an addition.
Yeah, because you're getting it.
Supplementation at its best, adding what you're missing.
Yeah, perfect. Okay, there you go. So I always want to come up with those type of, because I want meaningful information that I can use myself. So there you go.
Right. Very good.
Okay. So,
and by the way, if people want to supplement, I would suggest you buy either choline bitartrate or choline citrate. You don't need one of those expensive forms. And you can buy, I think Alex posted a couple of days ago for someone else, a link on Amazon. So one of the major retailers, you can buy 500 grams for $20 or so. And this lasts forever.
Wow. That's cool. Okay, so let's talk about the fat-soluble vitamins. We talk a lot about vitamin D, obviously, and that's been beaten to death. Do we have anything else to add to it?
Well, maybe I should remind people of an article I wrote recently that there are more and more scientists who are publishing studies on the U-shaped dose response curve for vitamin D. That means if you are in the deficiency area, you're really, really bad off. So never, ever get into the deficiency area. But on the other hand, there does not really seem to be much good and reliable evidence that there is any benefit from going way beyond the quote-unquote normal range, which is around 30 to 35 nanograms or 75 nanomole in the U.S. terms, I think.
Right,
you're using
right.
the mole, right?
Right, right.
Okay. Because if you go beyond it, or if you look at the same type of study, which is usually used during Comet, going in the highest ranges, because in the deficiency range, you're obviously bad off. If you look at the epidemiological studies, you will find that there's actually no benefit in terms of baseline inflammation in people who have higher levels.
And in fact, I've seen a study that shows that above the 100 nanogram level or millimole level, there becomes impaired calcium channel effects in the heart, and it can actually lead to rhythm issues and so on.
Yeah, and actually what people always forget there, you always hear that, oh, vitamin D is important because it strengthens the bone. But if you have really high vitamin D levels, it will also draw the calcium from the bones to increase the levels in the blood.
Right.
And this is something that only happens if the active vitamin D increases too much, and this usually won't happen if you take vitamin D3 supplements. But in the end, I still recommend just go and test your levels. If you are in the normal range, you are fine. Do what you have been doing to get there and continue this.
Right.
And if you are below, you can get them up pretty fast if you take around 5,000 milligrams per day for 4 weeks or so. Test again. Usually we will be fine, maybe even beyond the normal range already.
What about vitamin A? Is there anything that we need to know about vitamin A? It's one of my favorite fat-soluble vitamins. I believe that not enough people get it. It's important for stem cell differentiation. It's important for ocular health. What about vitamin A?
Well, for vitamin A, it's always about taking vitamin A as retinol directly or carotenes. And I've usually been arguing that, oh, there are a couple of people you have problems to transform the carotene into vitamin A, and therefore it may be better to at least get a baseline level of vitamin A. Recently, I've been revisiting the topic, and I still think it's good to get your vitamin D, but there's another good argument that your vitamin A is in form of direct available retinol, in at least some of it. Because it's not just that there are some people who can't convert the carotenes to vitamin A, but actually the carotenes have a very beneficial effect on their own, which they will lose if they are transformed to vitamin A.
Interesting.
And I think this is something you should keep in mind. So obviously you can take tons of beta carotene and then look orange if you want that. But this is not really what it's meant to be. So I would suggest that you try to get your RDA of vitamin A of 3,000 IU per day in form of retinol as well. And this is actually quite easy if you're an omnivore and eating also fatty animal meats and eggs and stuff like this, because these are the foods which are actually high in retinol. Otherwise, if you're a vegetarian, it may be a bit difficult. So you could go out and buy a vitamin A supplement. Maybe, if you're vegan, you can't buy one which is from fish oil. But right. Otherwise, I would just look for one which contains retinol palmitate, which is the one which has the lowest risk of poisoning you. Even if you take way more than 10,000 IU per day, I wouldn't recommend this. I would recommend taking maybe 10,000 IU twice a week or so.
Right.
To support your basic intake. Just this.
What about vitamin K? Vitamin K is all the rage right now because of its influence on calcium and its relationship to vitamin D.
Let me just get back to vitamin A briefly.
Oh, sure, sure.
Because there's one important thing I've written about recently only, which is the question of being fat soluble and having to eat or take this vitamin with fat. And interestingly enough, it's not for all the vitamins the same. So for vitamin A, it's really important that they come with high amounts of fat. So it would be a good idea to actually take your vitamin A supplements, or if you are taking any, with your highest fat meal in the day.
Interesting. But vitamin D isn't. I had a feeling. Elisa really pointed this out to me. It totally evaded me. That part of the problem with vitamin D status in America today may also be associated with even those people who are taking vitamin D are on a low fat, no fat diet. And so they're not absorbing the D. Is the D less likely to be absorbed, or is it one of those that if you don't take it with fat, it's okay?
I've actually written about this twice. I suppose Alisa read the article when I posted it as a classic a couple of weeks or a couple of days ago. I don't know when it was. But I wrote an article which was called A Fat Deficiency. And it's actually true. You need some fat to absorb your vitamin D also. But what I recently found out only, and this is extremely interesting, is that it depends on the type of fat you're eating. I didn't find any evidence what actually happens with saturated fats, but the few foods which come with relatively high amounts of vitamin D in them usually have saturated fats, so I don't think it will inhibit the absorption. But there is very good evidence that if you have it with a meal that is very high in polyunsaturated fatty acids, this will significantly reduce the effect it has on your blood level.
Wow, that's
so amazing. If you have it with olive oil and saturated fats. So MUFAs are the monounsaturated fats and saturated fats rather than polyunsaturated fats. Especially not omega 6 fatty acids.
And I want to come back and talk about omega 6s for a second. We have to take a break. I want to come back and talk about the favorite fat-soluble vitamin that the medical orthodoxy constantly likes to jump on, and that is vitamin E. Vitamin E has been implicated on increasing heart attacks, cancers, all sorts of things. Every time you turn around, someone is demonizing vitamin E, and you pointed out that you wrote about a recent study in your blog, right?
Not in your blog, in my blog. I only posted the article today on Facebook because it's just in the news. The different forms of vitamin E and their effects. And it's, again, bad news, obviously, because bad news sell.
Yeah, and we want to talk about that. And Adele is going to debunk it when we come back from the break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Your destination for the latest in health information. Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com. And click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Research on how colostrum improves athletic performance, muscle growth, health, and vitality is undeniable. But finding a reliable source of colostrum is difficult. Now the Superhuman Nation has Immunodynamics. For over 30 years, Immunodynamics has been regarded as both the standard and the source for consistently providing only first 6-hour colostrum, painstakingly processed by continually refined methods to provide the highest biological activity in the world. For a limited time, when you buy Percoba Extra Edge Colostrum Powder, you'll get a bottle of colostrum lozenges and a Fit and Fresh portable drink mixer free. Use coupon code SHR at checkout. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Immunodynamics banner ad today.
1-2 punch for muscle growth is increased pump and increased intensity. Research shows metabolic changes occur that yield bigger, stronger muscles. Harness the power of agmatine plus carnosine beta-alanine to give your workouts the intensity, pump, and metabolic changes that you'll not only feel but be able to see. Go to superhumanradio.com and use the coupon code SHR to get Prime Nutrition's Ultimate Stack and save 30% off. That's a savings of over $12. Get the most out of your next training session with Prime Nutrition's Nitric Oxide Plus Intensity Stack. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the product you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
It's new, it's cutting edge, and it's custom made to get you to Gainesville. The Blueprint Meteoric is here. Meteoric is the final frontier for drug-free athletes. Includes brand new breakthrough information about triphasic energy system training and macronutrient cycling, specifically designed to transform your physique in record time. For a limited time, get the Blueprint Meteoric for free, along with the legendary Add 1 Inch to Your Upper Arms in a Single Workout when you subscribe to the Blueprint Bulletin. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Blueprint banner ad.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We are keeping the memory alive for, what was her name? I can't remember her name. Isn't that funny? I was just going to say her name and it just flew out of my head. I don't have enough choline, obviously, in my diet.
Must be, right?
Anyway, so let's talk about vitamin E for a second. Now, before I talk about the type of vitamin E I take, let's talk about this recent study. This new study implicates vitamin E with what? Damage to the lungs, right?
Yeah. So the senior author, Joan Cook-Mills, says this is the first study to show gamma tocopherol, which is a special form of vitamin E, is associated with worse lung function. And what they did is your usual large-scale epidemiological study, actually not so large as usual because only 4,526 individuals were involved, but the average press release writer and the average press release reader obviously thinks, oh, those are 4,500 people. So it has a much higher significance than a laboratory study or a very controlled dietary study, which has only maybe 50 participants. And what they found was that there was a significant association between the gamma tocopherol intake and the percent reduction in lung function in the individual. And interestingly enough, the whole article actually heads off by referring to the sources of those dietary vitamin E, and it says that the sources were corn oil, soybean oil, and canola oil.
Right, which are all three genetically modified, almost exclusively genetically modified crops. Number one, number two, very very high in the pro-inflammatory omega-6.
Exactly.
Of oil.
Right.
Yeah. So this is that example. I remember one time I posted on Facebook, you know, when we look at these types of things and we exclude all the other stuff in them and we try to associate the positive effects of this with consuming something that we know is bad. I mean, who cares? The vitamin E is probably not the problem in those diets. It's the oils.
Yeah. And it's actually quite interesting. I just typed in just to see it, but what would happen when you type in omega-6 and lung function in one of the medical or of the general science search engines, you come up with a couple of studies which suggest that a high omega-6 diet precipitates to asthma in children and stuff like this.
Yeah.
So I must admit I haven't read the original article, the full text. So it is very, very possible that we have a huge difference between what the article says and what the press release made out of it. But what is really interesting is that although actually we were talking mostly about the oils, the article starts off with the oils and afterwards focuses only on vitamin E.
And
especially gamma tocopherol.
And
what's interesting...
I want to ask you that. So when they focus on one isoform of vitamin E, but vitamin E does not occur in nature that way, right?
Well, not really, but you got your foods which have a very high amount of gamma tocopherol and almost no alpha tocopherol, and you have others which are very high in alpha tocopherol and very low in gamma tocopherol.
So is there any indication that foods that are high in one and low in the other tend to be better for us to consume and vice versa?
It's difficult to say because obviously the foods also contain tons of other stuff. Because if you look at the science that's out there, you will easily find that the foods that are high in gamma tocopherol are usually also the foods which are high in omega-6s. I'm just looking at soybean oil, which has, for example, only 20 milligrams of alpha tocopherol and 140 milligrams of gamma tocopherol. So it's 7 times more.
But now, aren't there also, aside from the 4 tocopherols, aren't there also 4 tocotrienols? And are those present in any of these oils, these edible oils?
No, actually not. And I think that if you think about from a dietary perspective, in spite of all the benefits of these oils, no one of us is getting really significant amounts of these tocotrienols from his or her diet, because we are not pounding red palm oil all day. This is actually the only source which has really significant amounts which has tocotrienols as an amount in amounts that would be high enough to achieve the human equivalents of dosages that were used in rodent studies to produce all sorts of magnificent effects.
I take a combined all 4 tocopherol, all 4 tocotrienol, vitamin E supplement that's made from palm fruit oil. But I only it's a total of 200 IUs, but that is broken up amongst all 8 of the isoforms. So it's not high in anything, but that's all I take every single day.
Yeah, but this is actually probably what's most important. I mean, remember the discussion we had about potassium and all the other minerals in
yes.
the diet.
Yes.
It is really about the ratios you get. So, I mean, you remember what I said about the excess of potassium in the diet from our forefathers, which is probably as bad as the sodium excess in our diet now.
Yeah.
And therefore, we are actually craving sodium because we haven't had enough of this for so long. And whenever it was possible to get it, we needed the sodium to counter the potassium overload. These days, it's exactly the other way around. But unfortunately, no one craves potassium. If you taste it, it tastes terrible. I mean, salt tastes terrible as well. But you would never, you can also use this potassium chloride as a salt substitute. But you
right.
can't really use it in isolation because it tastes like hell.
Yeah, yeah. So you think it's wise, I don't want to get off the subject, but you think it's wise to use the salt alternatives because they're usually 50-50 sodium and potassium?
No, it's not.
Okay.
Because it's a potassium chloride and you don't want that.
Oh, that's
you
right.
You want potassium
right.
citrate.
Yeah. Because of
you want the alkaline version.
Alkalizing version.
The acidic one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in summary, getting back to vitamin E, what can we say about vitamin E that is a sensible recommendation and discussion? Can we say that vitamin E may cause health problems, or can we say that when vitamin E is taken in the natural forms and not part of something we already know assaults the human body, that it is good for us?
Well, on what I have based on what I have read, I would suggest if you want to take it in a supplemental form, go for a complete vitamin E spectrum supplement. You don't really necessarily have to buy the expensive one Carl uses, which you can also go for a cheaper one which has all the tocopherols only in it. But in general, I would not try to, for any good reason, to get beyond, say, 400 IUs per day, which is already much more than the RDA says you would need.
Right.
And if you are sticking to the general subversity and superhuman radio recommendations as far as your fats go, you will probably be rather on the lower side of the gamma tocopherol. So, you will get relatively low amounts of gamma tocopherol. Because olive oil almost contains no gamma tocopherol, that's about a 20-to-1 ratio for alpha tocopherol. And Therefore, this is probably really a rather typical American problem.
Yeah, yeah, right. Like a lot of the problems that have been created. We really didn't cover in these fat soluble discussion. Are there any known health effects from having low vitamin A and or low vitamin E status?
Yeah, of course there are. Of course there are. Right. If you have low levels of vitamin A, for example, your whole immune system is not going to work correctly. Hmm. This is actually quite interesting because people always think vitamin D is important for immune function, and this is obviously true. Vitamin D is very important for immune function, but if you look closer, you will soon realize that they work in concert. Vitamin D and vitamin A. And if you have too little vitamin A, one of the first signs you will see when you have really low vitamin A is that you will become night blind, and you will develop all sorts of other disorders. Uh-huh. Your gums will start bleeding because your dental enamel will become dry and will start to bleed, will break easily. Interestingly, also your bone growth will stop. You need also vitamin A for bone growth. You don't need too much of it, but you need it. You will get dry skin. You will get problems with your mucous membranes. They will either be dry or have other problems.
Right.
And there are also higher risk for some types of cancer. For example, I think prostate cancer is one of them, and I'm not quite sure what the others are.
Okay. And what about vitamin E? I mean, the early research done on vitamin E's RDA, I was told, was they decided how much was needed through fetal reabsorption of rodents. So when a rodent doesn't have enough of a nutrient, they actually after becoming pregnant, they'll actually reabsorb the fetus to kind of halt the process of the birth. And so they just gently increased the vitamin E dose until the fetus formed, and they said, okay, that's enough vitamin E. And then they created the human equivalent of that. What about vitamin E? Are there any known outward manifestations of symptoms if you have very low vitamin E status?
I think that the thing about vitamin E is that in our society, you are really unlikely to have too little vitamin E. But the problem is still, if you have low vitamin E levels, you have you're missing a buffer, so to say, for inflammation. And if you're missing this buffer for inflammation, it is obvious that you will slowly, progressively develop all signs of problems. Uh-huh. If you look at really real deficiency, you will probably most diseases in kids because they eat less. So the amount of food is low. And if this food is also low in vitamin E, they may develop chronic liver disease, or they may have problems with the muscle, like they are shivering all the time. They are pretty weak. The general growth will also be slower than usual. And if you look at the other at adults, you will have certain problems with the blood. So if you look at the blood panel, it's often that you have low levels of iron. So mild anemia, for example.
Right.
And there are certain connections to a decrease in sex drive, which is obviously nothing anyone of us would want to have.
Right.
Which is probably related to an increase in inflammation in general. The same goes for certain neurological damages which may occur, and also problems with the hair and the skin. So, for example, dry hair or hair loss is also associated with low levels of vitamin E. And there is an interesting study which was unfortunately conducted in rodents only, which shows regrowth of hair in rodents with a relatively mild dose of tocotrienols, which are those pretty rare forms of vitamin E you will find mostly in red palm oil or special supplements.
Wasn't that associated with a better blood flow? I guess there's a lot of people talk about vitamin E actually having an effect on plaque buildup and stenosis. And
yeah, it does. And does also thin the blood. So people who are taking blood thinners must be careful, because in some people it really has a tremendous effect on blood thinning. especially if you combine it with other stuff. So if you combine green tea and vitamin E in very high doses, you are in for serious bleeding when you're cutting yourself in the morning when you're shaving.
Ah, interesting.
It takes much longer to close the wound then.
That's amazing. Okay. All right, here's what we have to do. We're running a little long. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll wrap up the interview. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Subversity Science Roundup, talking about nutrient deficiencies and what you can do to correct them. We'll be right back.
Previously on Superhuman Radio.
The reason this government loves Monsanto is because we can no longer afford to do what we've been doing, which is giving everyone money to be our allies.
The war against Monsanto continues.
And there's an old saying, he who controls the food controls the population. You don't have to lift a finger or point a gun to completely control a population. All you have to do is control their food.
Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore, weekdays at noon.
Train harder, train longer, recover faster, and elevate protein synthesis. It's finally here, Splice, with branched-chain amino acids, taurine, and trimethylglycine. You'll blast through your workouts without the need for stimulants, and the alpha-lactalbumin ensures your workouts will be the most productive because nothing accelerates muscle growth faster. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Predator Nutrition banner ad and use the coupon code SPLYCE10 to save 10% off today. Only one testosterone booster, Mahler's Aggressive Strength, raises testicular cholesterol levels while increasing gonadotropin-releasing hormone. That, in turn, turbocharges how much testosterone you can make. In a clinical trial, this resulted in a 347% increase in testosterone, and it won't bottom out your estrogen levels either, so your libido will be in high gear. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Aggressive Strength banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and get 10% off today.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. Keto Force is the first ketone salt that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of Keto Force and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Keto Force banner ad today. Only one testosterone booster, Mahler's Aggressive Strength, raises testicular cholesterol levels while increasing gonadotropin-releasing hormone. That, in turn, turbocharges how much testosterone you can make. In a clinical trial, this resulted in a 347% increase in testosterone, and it won't bottom out your estrogen levels either, so your libido will be in high gear. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Aggressive Strength banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and get 10% off today.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Showtime.
Welcome back. So, yesterday, Adele posted in the Subversity blog about heart disease. The number one killer of humans is heart disease. And I love the way you did this, Adele, based on the risk factors sleep, diet, and inactivity, with inactivity being the number one risk factor for heart disease. And this comes at a time when I have adapted to using a Fitbit to track my activity, which today I'm not doing very good, by the way. So let's talk about that study.
Yeah, it's actually, it has been, unfortunately, all the participants were women, or the study was conducted on women. But I think it's still very interesting, because people really underestimate the effects of relatively moderate exercise or of being active. And we've been talking all the time about the essential nutrients and the vitamins. And we are forgetting another essential in our life, with it, which is actually activity. This is essential to our health. And the older we get, the more important it becomes. Right. And if you look at the risk factors, I mean, a high BMI is really negligible compared to not being physically active. And in the end, you could say it's actually a result of not being physically active that many people are becoming obese. And even smoking is a significantly increases your risk significantly less than not being active.
Wow.
Of the risk of heart disease. And I think this is something people totally ignore because they don't want to hear this. So if you are investing in your health, then try first of all to set up a whole foods diet. And second of all, try to be active and don't forget to get enough rest and sleep.
The activity one is really an important equation. When we had Dr. Daniel Lieberman on the show and we were talking about his book, The Story of the Human Body, he said, you know, if you put an escalator in the middle of a hunter-gatherer community, they'll start using it. They're not going to go, I'm going to forego the escalator because walking up the hill is better for me. It is part of our instinct to do two things, conserve energy and acquire energy, so that we always are in an abundance because we're always preparing for a problem. So it makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely right.
I think that's really amazing that inactivity is the number one risk factor for heart disease across adult lifespan. That's amazing to me. That's amazing to me because that's an easy one to fix, really easy.
Yeah, and actually, if you look at the studies, at studies which use both exercise and or compare exercise and diet interventions, often people are really, really disappointed when they read that the people didn't lose weight when they worked out. But if you look at the significant health or at the health side of things, you will realize that the health effects of losing weight, they are there, but they are only tremendous when you are exercising at the same time.
Uh-huh.
And this actually gets us back right to the beginning of the show when we were talking about keeping muscle. I mean, you can be normal weight at a high age and still not be able to stand up because all the weight you're carrying is fat.
Yeah. And people don't get that. And like you said, because no one wants to work hard. That's the bottom
line. Yeah, and maybe the fat is burning fat, so it's good, right?
Yeah, I still, to me, that's so idiotic to find all of these long ways around the equation to get our fat to burn itself when you can just get muscle to burn what it needs to do. I mean, it's so much easier to build muscle. We know how to do it. You don't have to take any exotic drugs. You don't have to create transgenic rat models. You just...
But wait. Most people actually think you have to take drugs to build muscle, because if they are thinking about people who have a certain amount of muscle, they usually think about steroids, right? And the few exceptions, the genetically gifted Olympic athletes who they don't belong to.
Right. Great discussion. Now, we originally had planned to have a follow-up, the third installment, on the 28th, but we're going to be rescheduling that because Adele has a conflict with the schedule there at the university. So we will post that on Facebook as soon as we pick a date. How's that sound?
That sounds good.
I also want to thank Dr. Maylin Liu for coming on and talking about the protein GRB10. We'll keep our eyes open for it. You can get that recombinant peptide, but again, who knows what negative effects it would have. You know, that's my problem with a lot of this research. They're looking at lightning in a bottle. They're looking at one thing, you know, fat loss. So we don't know what else it will disrupt. And again, there are more efficient ways to do it, like being active. Adele, thanks for being on the show today.
It was a pleasure, Cal.
Okay, talk to you soon, and we'll see everybody tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Previously on Superhuman Radio.
Monsanto has shortened more lives than any...